everybody here also has some definition of alcoholism in mind. Everybody does. And usually, as with addiction, our definition of alcoholism will be descriptive. And it'll be based on your past knowledge. Most of them, I think, would be true and accurate. But Dr. Chaffetz found out, from having done a study up at Massachusetts General Hospital, trying to find why so few alcoholics were being diagnosed in emergency, discovered that one of the three major reasons was this. Where the patient's drinking pattern paralleled that of the examining doctor, he was not an alcoholic. And I'll bet you cash that those of you who are having trouble with your drinking will give a descriptive definition that will not include you. If you're a weekend drinker, isn't it obvious that an alcoholic is somebody that drinks every day? If you get drunk occasionally, isn't it obvious that an alcoholic is somebody that's drunk all the time? If you drink daily, isn't it true that an alcoholic is somebody that drinks in the morning and you don't, etc., etc.? An alcoholic is someone whose drinking causes serious life problems. It's that simple. It is just that simple. And again, I think that the validity of any statement can be seen in the stupidity of its opposite. Let me ask you this seemingly crazy question. Do any of you know or have you ever heard of a person, man, woman, or child, who has ever wrecked an automobile, totaled it, and nearly killed himself as a result of eating string beans? Have you ever heard of that? We've all known people who have nearly killed themselves because they were drunk. Now, you can wreck a car for many reasons, but if alcohol is the reason, alcohol is a problem. Face it, I can't prove this. It's a self-evident truth. To prove, you step behind and show something up in a clearer light. I can't prove this. What makes problems is one. I can't prove that. You buy it or you don't. Let me, again, describe. There's a young fellow in Jessup's Cut. He is serving 20 to life. He has no left arm. Started to go to AA meetings because his cellmate did, that's all. Wanted something to do. He had no more notion of alcoholism than man the moon. But while there, he heard, what makes trouble is trouble, and if your alcohol causes trouble, it's a problem with you. This boy got drunk 3 times in his life. The first time he lost his arm, the second time he lost his family, and the third time he committed a crime that lost him his freedom. He concluded correctly he's an alcoholic. But how many of you have ever looked at someone in the family, someone you work for, someone who works for you, and said this totally insane thing? Well, yeah, he drinks, but he's not that bad yet. Now, he's not what bad yet? He's not what bad yet? He waited till he's dead and perhaps conclude he had a little trouble with his drinking? This is the insanity behind misinformation in this field. There is no field on earth in which the half-truth results in more tragedy than this one. If you, honest to heavens, believe that alcoholism is a disease, then it's diagnosable and treatable. Some symptoms of alcoholism, and if you know a few of these, you can write the rest of the story on any alcoholic that you know. It's just a question of details. Hold on to your chairs. All alcoholics drink too much. You say, well, good heavens, I know that. This characterizes all alcoholics, an excessive drinking pattern. Now, let me ask you this. How much is too much?
Oh.
See, it doesn't have to do with any constant amount. It's purely relative. Too much is however much is too much for you. That's too much. And too much is what makes problems. Let me show you. We call alcoholism a disease of mind. Here's the way he functions. And please bear this in mind all the way through. He can get the troops out of Vietnam in 3 weeks. Ask him, why doesn't the president call me? He can't get out of bed. But he's going to get the troops out of Vietnam. He can solve world problems, can't handle his own. I knew a psychiatrist in Detroit, used to treat alcoholics, and he was good. But in between patients, he'd reach into the drawer and boom, it's the only way he could get through the day. The problems, blackout. Just as all people, addicts and non-addicts, will be affected by ether, all people are going to be affected by alcohol. Now, alcoholics and non-alcoholics can experience blackouts. But tell a non-alcoholic, fairly normal person, who can't remember last night but who has a dent in his right front fender, that he may have hit somebody, he'll never drink and drive again. The alcoholic drinks and drives all the time. A blackout, by the way, is present inability to remember something done recently under the influence. You can remember graduating from grammar school 900 years ago and can't remember last night. I know a woman over in Baltimore married to a man who was up for promotion to general. At 3 a.m. during the Christmas holidays, her daughter, home from college, found her passed out in a bathroom floor. It embarrassed her for about 30 seconds. This lady blacks out every time she drinks. Beginning at 4 p.m. every afternoon of her life, she has no recollection at all of every evening that she drinks, and it's daily. This no more phases her into Man the Moon. She's sick. This is way down here. Gulping and sneaking drinks. If a man were to see his wife sneak into the bathroom, lift the lid off the toilet tank, pull out a bottle of milk and drink three shots, he'd have her committed in about 5 minutes. Now, he drinks alcohol this way. That's why he drinks alcohol. And it never dawns on him this is different from normal people. Loss of control. In whatever degree. Why, he was drunk at his daughter's graduation. Of course he was. He said he was only going to drink three. He drank 23. He is more baffled than you. And so when you ask him why, he comes up with alibis. He has an alibi system. You know what an alibi is? It's an unreasonable reason for doing something. What'd you get drunk last Monday night for? He says it rained. You say, how about Tuesday? He says it didn't. Or it's the people I work with. It's my wife's big mouth. It's the dog's birthday. My team won or my team lost. Whatever. Now, we laugh at the alcoholic's alibis. Now, listen to the professional man's. Well, he's drunk because he has an inferiority complex. He's drunk because he's afraid of authority. He's drunk because he was born in the slums. He's drunk because his mommy abandoned him when he was three. He's no such a thing drunk for those reasons. That's the professional man's alibi system. I don't mean to ridicule it. Don't mistake me. We'll try to clear this up a little bit later. But his reasons for the alcoholic's drinking are somewhat valid because they did play a part in the alcoholic's contracting the disease. That's not why he's drunk today. Anyway, the eye-opener. The need of a drink after a period of deprivation. Please notice it's not called the morning drink, because many an alcoholic has read somewhere if you drink in the morning, you're in. So you know what he does? He shakes to pieces till noon. As though a disease depends on a wristwatch. We call it the eye-opener, the need of a drink after a period of being deprived of it. Sleep. So normally the eye-opener's in the morning. Drinking alone. To hide the frequency and the amount. He doesn't want you to know he drinks as much as he does as often as he does. That's why he shows up with about 12 miniatures in his pocket. Old weak bladder Willie. He's the guy in the office who goes to the bathroom about 82 times between arrival and lunch. And he comes back a little more woozy after each trip. Did you ever catch anybody at... This is why he gulps and sneaks. He doesn't want you to see him drink. Did you ever walk into a kitchen at a party, you know, and hear some clown there with a bottle in his hand? Hi there. Hello. He's embarrassed. He's caught at... Are normal people embarrassed at taking a drink of whiskey? No such thing. He is. Because he doesn't drink normally. He doesn't drink normally. That's not normal drinking. Change the pattern. I've got to do something about my drinking, so he switches from bourbon to scotch, to vodka, to beer. Let me show you what I meant in the beginning by lack of knowledge of this thing. There's one difference between a beer alcoholic and a whiskey alcoholic. There's the same amount of alcohol in 12 ounces of beer as you'll find in an ounce of whiskey. Simply means you've got to drink more and go to the bathroom more often. And it's not worth it. Especially on these cold winter nights. They tell one about a man that bought a beer, went into the men's room, and just flushed it down the john. Somebody said, you lost your mind. He said, no, he's just sick and tired of being the middleman for it. Antisocial behavior. Let's put it this briefly and this simply. Have you ever said of someone you know, he's a wonderful fellow when he's sober? Best worker when he's here. That's it. Now, what do we mean by antisocial? Many parties are enhanced by inviting some specific person who gets half slopped up and entertains everybody. Not obnoxious at all. He's simply funny. There's a difference between standing on a piano and leading the songs and busting into a neighbor's house on a Saturday afternoon after 19 rounds of golf and hopping up on his piano with your golf shoes on and then puking on his rug. This is gross, and this is frowned upon. This is antisocial and has repercussions. Loss of friends, jobs, and families. I am not so much of a fool as to think that these things can't happen as a result of many other things. But if they result from one's drinking, then that's alcoholism. And please, I beg you, if you remember nothing else, alcoholism is a family disease, and those who live with it get as sick or sicker than the alcoholic, and they need treatment. Let me show you what I mean, and I don't say this for shock value. A couple hours of kids in our high schools are going to be down the cafeteria eating lunch. And at too many tables, where they're talking about some game they saw the night before or some lesson they just had in class, there's going to be one kid down at the end with his face down in the soup. He's saying nothing. Guess what happened in his house last night? At 2:30 in the morning, he was shaking to pieces, listening to his dad calling his mother a goddamned whore in the midst of a drunken rage. Now, this happens in your block. What happens in the heart of a little 8-year-old girl who comes home from school with a classmate, and there's the mother, stark naked, passed out in the middle of the dining room floor, drunk? They don't get over these things. They can't ventilate them with anyone. Most alcoholics recovered in AA are children of alcoholics, and I don't think because they inherit it. I think they inherit attitudes caused by their experience with an alcoholic. I have met women who have said to me, I've heard it so often, Father, I'm beginning to believe it myself. I don't know what I am. First of all, they're guilt-ridden because they blame themselves for the husband's drinking. This is fantastic. Alcoholism is indeed a result of a combination of causative factors. It's not biochemical purely. It's not psychological or psychiatric purely. It's not emotional purely. It's a combination of all these things, and they differ with the individual. Alcoholism, in turn, is productive. It's a symptom, but it's not just a symptom. That's the half-truth. Because with this goofy word symptom in mind, we have focused on the causes and not the problem. Two men. One, a New York stockbroker, and the other, a physician surgeon from Akron, Ohio, said, let's treat the alcoholism. And they did, and they found out what it was causing, cleared up when it cleared up, and now they were able, with proper therapy, to face life without the chemical. How many of you have discussed the drug problem with a drink in your hand? The most overused drug on earth is alcohol. It's alcohol. Anyways, doctors and hospitals. You got cirrhosis. Drink again and you'll die. So he stays sober out of fear. But when he drinks again, after a protracted, prolonged period of sobriety, he winds up on a bender or a binge. And he wonders what happened. Remember what I said in the beginning? Addiction is characterized by compulsive use, and once contracted, it progresses till death. When an alcoholic, after 10 years of sobriety, drinks again, he does not begin at the beginning, and he does not pick up where he left off. He picks up where he would have been if he had been drinking all that while. Why is this? Nobody knows. It's simply an infallible fact. So the alcoholic can't stay sober 5 years and drink. At the punch bowl's brink, let the wise man think what they say in Japan. First the man takes a drink, then the drink takes a drink, then the drink takes the man. He's sober 8 years, and he says this to himself, I'm a man, I can handle a beer. But all addiction goes from the lesser amount to the greater amount, from the lesser drug to the greater drug. He does handle a beer, and he may for a week. But sooner or later, he's going to handle two, and then five. Then he handles five shots, and a few days later, a fifth and a half handles him. Tremors, the inner shakes and screaming for a drink, is indicative of a positive cellular craving for the drug without which he cannot operate normally. This is an infallible sign of addiction. And ladies and gentlemen, that is why alcoholics drink. They don't drink because it rained or didn't, nor do they drink because of an inferiority complex. Darn it, that caused the drinking. But they drink today as a result and symptom of their illness. In other words, and briefly, and those of you who are writing can write it down, alcoholics drink because they are alcoholics. It's the nature of alcoholism to use compulsively alcohol. In other words, alcoholics drink because they can't not drink. It's perfectly true that an alcoholic's freedom is missing and gone between drinks 10 and 11. I maintain that he's not free before the first drink. The farther away the alcoholic is from his last drink, the closer he is to his next one. It is simply a question of time. And when it happens, we get down to here to try to explain it. The explanation is in the nature of his addictive nature. Protect the supply. If you know anybody that hides bottles, you know an alcoholic. People don't hide milk. They don't hide orange. Remember Days of Wine and Roses? This kid hid one from himself. He hid it and then blacked out. Unreasonable resentments. Here's a wife been living for 15 years for this, and she's totally bewildered now. If I say yes, I'm wrong. If I say no, I'm wrong. See, he's running out of alibis, and he needs a reason to drink. He's drinking compulsively, tremendously now. He doesn't know why, and he's getting flaky. So he comes home and he provokes her to anger. And when she yells, he drinks. He resents unreasonably. Nameless fears and anxieties. The louder the mouth, the scarier the man. Alcoholism teaches one thing to its victims, how to be scared. Till we come to the end of the line. The collapse of the alibi system. The tragedy for 35 out of 36. Death occurs before it does. You know what that is? It means the alibis disappear. I didn't get drunk last night because the Colts won or lost. They didn't play. I didn't get drunk because of her big mouth. She's gone. It's not the people I work with, I don't work. And it's not the dog's birthday, he's dead. I drank because I couldn't help it. I had to drink. He has looked into the mirror of self and seen what is there. He reaches his moment of truth. The insanity of our reasoning. Is it true to say you can't help an alcoholic until he wants it? Yes. Perfectly true. He will not respond to treatment until he wants to. All I'm saying is get him into treatment. Try to make him want to. That's all. You know what I'm saying, in effect? I'll wait till he asks for help. God in heaven, I'm looking at a man with a sick mind and asking him to make a major decision about his life. I am presuming the very health of mind that he needs and doesn't have. You can lead a horse to water and not make him drink. Good gracious, I know that. But you can lead him there and make him thirsty. Get him into treatment and see if he'll respond. Okay, but what might work, might work. Let me ask you this. How many of you have ever walked down the street on a beautiful spring day about a half hour before lunch and said, gee, I got a half hour. I think I'll go in that dentist's office and have a few teeth out. We don't function that way. How can we expect an alcoholic to say, I think I'll do something about my drinking problem, until he says, I've got one? And if he doesn't know he's got one, it's up to us to make him see it. How about seeking treatment, buddy, or seeking a new job? You know, like that. If he surrenders to his addiction, he winds up incarcerated, insane, or dead, or he can surrender to help. There are clinics. There is psychiatry, there is psychology, and I beg you, don't undersell the virtue and the value and the place of a return to one's religious faith as a component of complete recovery. But above all else, what works best for most is AA. Face it, ladies and gentlemen, ain't a thing on God's good earth that works or succeeds like success. Nothing. It is 12 principles by which to live. based on the first three. I can't handle it. God can. I believe I'll let him. It has worked to the tune of 500,000 people. The programs that you will set up in heaven's name, use the resources you have available, the professionals who know what in God's name they are talking about. Tons of money are being dumped into drug abuse, and I think we know nothing about drugs, nothing. And we spin wheels and get a lot of screwballs heading up these things. Forgive me, I don't mean to be stepping on individual toes. I'm just calling facts. Use people who know something about alcoholism to help in this. And I might leave with these few thoughts. Number one, to me, an educated man is one who has learned after a number of years to say, I don't know. I don't have all the answers. We need many people to do it. There are guidelines for industry that have been found to be workable. In heaven's name, find them out. Secondly, you have been more than kind. I appreciate more than you know your having me here to talk. I hope for those of you who can still drink that I didn't spoil your drinking for you. And if ever you meet somebody who doesn't have a smile on his face, give him one of yours. Thanks very kindly.